line with the Island of Misfit Cookies, and I give away the, there's a word puzzle and the all of the stuff from the Island of Misfit Cookies, and we actually have, you know, a bunch of the ornaments, you know, that are aligned towards those characters. And so we actually choose a special family. Usually it's someone that has small kids. And we actually show up on their front door and sing a couple of carols and give them the Misfit Cookies. So it's a really cool tradition. I've really enjoyed it.
Here's some bad singing and
some bad singing
and broken cookies.
Right. Yeah. You know,
Christmas, suckers.
So, And it means a little bit more this year with my mom passing away since the last time we did this. And so it's really great that, you know, we get to carry on a tradition from her family. And I really love that.
That's awesome, dude.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Dave, what do you think about?
So my only personal Christmas tradition is, you were talking about you like those, you know, old school animated Christmas movies. There's a Mad TV sketch from back in the 90s called Raging Rudolph. There's like a take on The Godfather meets Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Okay, that I watch. Okay. I watch it every year without fail.
So Rudolph, we're going to the mattresses this year.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
Santa's. I'm talking no crap, no like red thing in the sky. We're going to the mattresses.
Am I a clown? Do I make you laugh? Yeah, exactly. It's the Godfather, Goodfellas. Look that up. Every mob movie meets Rudolph the Red.
Is that available on DVD?
Yeah. They're all sticky though, Mike.
Oh my God.
That's cool.
Yeah. What about you?
For me, so growing up, Christmas was different than tradition than English.
Oh, that's
Christmas.
Right. You always wait a week. Yeah.
13 days. Yeah. Yes. So
you got everything half price.
Yes. So Russian Christmas, or as I called it, Russian Christmas, because I'm Russian Orthodox, was on January 7th traditionally.
It's weird that it's called Russian, but it's always late.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Hey, Carl liked it. That's
so for Christmas Eve, it's a big candlelight dinner. We have 12 foods for the 12 wise men. We have hay under the table.
There were 12 wise men?
Well,
I thought there were three. Things.
No, disciples. Well, there were like 12.
There's 12 days of Christmas, okay?
No, but there were 12 things.
Donkeys.
12,
gold, yes. Frankincense, and myrrh. Where are the other 12? Well,
there's Lord's Leaping. I know that. And there's some maids. Right. Milking.
No, I think there were some people that had that rogue beer,
So there was a lot of fish. There was this thing called kishelitsa, which tasted like wallpaper paste, but my mother absolutely loved it. It's like this soup.
How do you know what wallpaper paste tasted like? That's what I want to know.
Well,
was there a mint overtone to it?
You know, like wallpaper.
Was it the nitro that made it taste like that?
It needed to have the nitro actually on it. But it was just this like candlelight dinner that was very holy, very traditional. And we always saved a spare seat for our ancestors to come and join us at the table. And it was just a very traditional thing. So I was just, that was like the coolest part about Christmas.
Yeah. Nice. Pass me the mint jello and the wallpaper paste.
No mint jello. No, but my grandmother.
Hey, talk about stick to your ribs kind of food.
Anyways, to be continued in just a minute.
Not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. Today is a day about celebrating the holidays.
Even
the
though you're Christmas torturing us.
Season. You're welcome. Look, isn't that what most family does to you at some point?
I can think of which cousin I'd serve this next beer.
Okay, so what we're going to talk about is the special brewery in Shiner, Texas.
Oh, my gosh.
The Shiner Holiday Cheer Dunkelweizen. So this special beer...
Clean up aisle six.
Okay, it was first brewed in 2010.
And they, and they kept decided to keep it? Doing it?
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
Okay, and in 2013, it took the it took bronze in the Australian International Beer Awards.
Or were they tasting it right to left instead of right to left? I'm telling you, what was going on?
They were the only entry, and they're like, look, they can't give them gold, we can't give them silver.
So we're going to give them
bronze. You got to give them something.
Okay,
you had to go out of the country to meddle with this beer?
So this is 5.4% ABV.
Welcome to the Canadian IPA Invitational.
Oh, welcome to Down Under. Yeah. It tastes like...
Okay, this is a Texan Old World Dunkelweizen brew with Texas peaches and roasted pecans.
On a scale of five, this is like a -3.
They say it goes well with fruitcake.
It goes well with a green apple Jolly Rancher. That is the cornerstone taste profile of this beer.
Yep, green apple.
Not for me.
It's. I don't remember it being tasting like this. I mean,
this is so bad.
I don't. About 10 years ago, I was working in a beer shop, and I remember at Christmas time, this was a popular draft beer, but I don't remember it tasting like this.
This is so bad.
Maybe the peaches went.
I would just like to say that I really like Shiner Bock.
I love Shiner.
I think Shiner Bock is a great beer.
Some of the one-off Shiners are good. I just had a dry hop pilsner from Shiner called like Cosmo Special. It was fantastic.
This strikes me as like,
they can make great beers, but this is not.
Dial an adjunct. I think somebody stepped up to a dartboard and threw at it and went, the flavor profile is green apple.
Well, you know, we had that Shiner pack, Mike, a few months ago that there were some... You know, like Shiner Light and a couple of things that were really good. But this is not so much.
I really feel like with holiday beers, some people or some breweries approach a holiday beer like, hey, now's the time where we can really capture a share of the market of people who want to buy something that doesn't taste like beer. And so they're going to try to make it taste like something else.
Oh, I think this is a marketing limiting decision is what this would be. So, yeah.
But from a sales perspective, like somebody might buy that because they'll say, oh, well, pecans and peaches, and I like all those things.
Yeah, people in South Dakota, they don't know what good beer is. So,
Mike, we had some beers from South Dakota that were really good. So they
Maybe they should promote this into North Dakota. So.
It's just that it's like a bad peach. It's just a really
bad beer.
Okay. My Christmas present, let's stop talking about this beer.
Okay. We are going to, God bless, rate the Shiner Holiday Cheer Dunkelweizen A1.
That is kind.
Okay. Okay. Hopefully on to better things. So the next one is from Abita. So now we're going to Louisiana.
It's better than the last one.
And this is the seasonal Christmas ale, 5.8%. It's classified as a dark ale. It's a brown ale that is brewed with 6 types of malted barley and fermented with American ale yeast. And then it is hopped and dry hopped with Columbus Cascade, Centennial, and Amarillo.
The invasion of the gingerbread man. That's what I mean, it is, you know?
Yeah. It tastes like an American brown ale.
Yep.
It's a hoppy brown ale.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Laced with all those baking spices that you just really love to hate combined with the brown ale. That's, you know, clove and cinnamon and allspice and all that crap. It's just,
I don't get that on this.
Crack or something?
No. Yeah.
I don't get any of that on this.
Like, I just taste a hoppy brown ale.
I get the hops. I don't get any real spice.
I think Mike's having an allergic reaction to the Shiner.
Maybe. Do you remember when Dogfish Head did their India Brown Ale?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, that beer was so great.
That was good.
I don't think this is as good as that was, or at least as good as my memory of that was.
Yeah.
But that's what this is trying to do, right? Yeah. Like, it's just a hoppy brown ale. And I like the idea that you can make a holiday beer that isn't a slave to
style.
Cinnamon.
Because what you're about cinnamon to or peppermint pour in or, your right, next cup right. is...
No, right? And like, honestly, for New Orleans being, well, Louisiana in general, being like this assault of like, you know, almost like Cajun-y kind of flavors, mm-hmm. I'm surprised and happily surprised that they've sort of dialed down what their version of a Christmas beer
as long
is.
As it doesn't taste like Old Bay, I think we're okay.
Well, I will say that
I would drink an Old Bay beer. I'm just not.
I've yet to run into an Abita beer that I really like. Wow, this is maybe the pecan. I want to say there's a pecan beer, you know, in their lineup. But
I really like Turbo Dog.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Turbo Dog. Man, that's I haven't had one of those in 20 years.
Yeah.
We should go get one today. I don't know. We gotta find one.
I can think of carry it a total wine. Like back in the day when you didn't have a lot of options, mm-hmm. that was yeah. really good.
I think they're a lot better.
It was always on
brown nails in this saucer. All day long. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of this at all. There's nothing that says this is festive, a holiday.
I like it too.
Well, other than the branding about it, that's about it.
Listen, grumpy old man.
Yeah.
Ho ho ho, Santa does not like this. Grandpa stuff doesn't mean you have to be Grandpa Simpson. No, yeah.
And like, what a great, cute little Santa on there. You know?
How different can you be from everybody else at the table?
I'm going to drop a lump of coal on all of you. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh my gosh. All right. We, good humans, are going to rate the Abita Christmas Ale, otherwise known as our brown ale, a 4.
Don't worry, Mike. You can fix it in post.
I can.
I will.
Fix it in post. I'm not even going to play the I like it thing. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I'm not even going to do that to you.
Okay. So it's very now titillating. We're going to go to Fat Bottom in Nashville, and we're going to do the Noel Christmas or Spice Christmas Ale.
Yeah. I'm not a fan of those holiday spices. This has holiday spices.
Oh yes.
Is this the
boy?
With the exception of the peppermint beer, is this the first one that we've had that has had what I would consider traditional holiday spices in it?
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. This is a mistletoe bomb. All day long. I didn't think I was going to say those words. You know, after.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
So. Whew. Okay, so this is brewed with Tennessee honey, ginger, cinnamon, and cloves.
Yeah, way too much clove.
What does that smell like to you, Mike?
And they suggest you to serve it in a pint glass rimmed with honey and cinnamon, too.
You son of a...
Yeah, welcome to the muddled...
You know, honey is not cheap, so why waste a bunch of honey?
And screw up a great beer. Yeah, this just... tastes like, you know, an adjunct recipe that just got away from them and is there's no cohesive plan. It was more of like, oh wow, cool, that's sticking to the side of the wall, the fermenter, let's just do that, you know. I don't if there was an intended destination with this, they missed it.
You know what though, maybe to the uneducated this might be holiday-ish. Okay. I'm not trying to sound dumb here though, but okay, think about our rooftop bars in Nashville for Christmas holidays and our bars in general, Christmas holiday cocktails, not the good places, but the average places.
They're all drinking peppermint schnapps.
So in the grand scheme of things, isn't this just a version of one of those cocktails? Do you know what I mean?
I think if you are somebody that really enjoys cinnamon, nutmeg, clove,
this is fine.
Then you would like that.
Right. No. This is like the old school ham that your grandmother made.
Yeah.
Well, without the smoke. Ham beer. Right? Like if it was smoky.
Yeah, if it had some saltiness, maybe that would make this better.
Too much clove.
This has me running to the other side of the room to go, do you have any eggnog? Any eggnog.
Maybe if you
any
made
eggnog. This, even if it's bad eggnog,
if
I will
take
it. If you
made this as a Rausch beer, maybe that would
work. No, this is not a good Rausch
beer. I wonder if you have a barrel-aged version of this that we could try.
Yeah, that would be crazy. Would you think that
wouldn't funny? That be weird? I think it'd be so weird if you just happen to have a barrel aged version
take
of this.
Let's take a bad idea and let's drop it into a barrel. This is a really great idea, Carl.
Barrel of what?
you know,
I've done that.
anything to cover up the base taste profile of this, you know, yes.
Well, gee, so. Carl.
Do we have extra cups here?
Funny you should say that. Okay, so based on this one alone, the Fat Bottom Noel.
I'm just going to empty
Spice
this cup.
Christmas Ale. Okay, also, does this taste 7.7% ABV to you?
I can't even.
No way.
Tastes right? Like, it tastes like an early exit.
It tastes like about 5%.
Same. There's no way I would have said that was 7%.
Yeah. No.
So in that like, respect.
This is kind of shocking to me.
So it's kind of like a Christmas roofie in a way.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Really get you there.
Oh my gosh, she's right.
What are you doing later?
Yeah, I was about to say. Not the only way I could enjoy this would be comatose.
Gonna show you my candy cane later.
Okay, but it does not taste 7.7.
Doesn't taste like anything but bad.
Tastes like a bad decision.
Wow. Okay.
That one, are we going to do this to it?
Carla from accounting, this is a wonderful story that I don't want to hear from this.
We're
going to
call
time.
This one a write-off.
Ooh, there we go, finally.
Ooh, okay. Like well, we are going to rate the Fat Bottom Noel Spice Christmas Ale a 1. Now, Carl just happened to think, hey, throw this in a barrel and I'm sure it's going to be great. So we are now going to drink the barrel aged Noel.
Idea. It smells better.
The limited release.
Listen, Carl was
just
right.
Just for you.
I think Carl was right.
It smells
9.7% ABV.
Damn, son.
Wait, how did it go up that much? Did they leave half of the barrel of whiskey in?
Is that I love the acceleration at the end of the bottle. So I will say this really improved dramatically.
It did. It does taste better.
It has masked such a muddled mess and actually brought around, was this Irish whiskey? Because it tastes like Irish whiskey
to
me.
You remember how on the Rogue when we were saying like the balance between an adjunct and a beer, and if the adjunct overtakes the beer too much, it could be wrong. Somehow the adjunct in this one being the whiskey barrel has overtaken the beer. And I think they did it right.
I think that they actually improved this dramatically.
Yeah. A lot of times, at least at Black Abbey, what we do is we rinse the barrels before we put beer in them because we want to get wood and vanilla and we don't want to get super boozy.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's really appropriate to
mask
boozy,
the really bad beer.
Right? And
let's pour more whiskey into this thing. Yeah.
Well, and honestly, I would guess that they made a separate batch of this beer and they made it a little stronger because I think our general rule of thumb is that you pick up about 1 point ABV-wise from a barrel. So they probably brewed
easily.
It to about, 8.2.
Yeah.
And then barreled that. And, I think
is
the barrel
it
really...
you're absorbing the spirit or because it's...
I would have a half a can of this.
Yeah, the way that we approach barreling beer is that we keep all our barrels temperature controlled.
Yeah.
Because in the whiskey world, you want the liquid to move in and out of the staves.
Yeah.
Whereas in the beer world, you really don't because you could pick up a lot of harsh tannic flavors.
Sure.
Yes. That unless you're brewing a 12, 13, 14% beer, the beer can't... it can't balance it. Like it can't maintain the its flavor
it's
integrity.
It's going to get overtaken by those off flavors.
And so we rinse the spirit first and then we keep the barrels at cellar temp. So we usually keep them about 39, 40 degrees.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So in this, like I'm not overwhelmed by booze, but I mean, there sure is plenty of it, but it's not overwhelming in this.
It kind of rounds it out
exactly but honestly like I feel like it mellows the cinnamon and like the spiciness of it and makes it a little bit more palatable.
It makes it a toddy.
This is a huge improvement. This is a beer
it's surprisingly better.
Yeah, I really like this.
So this actually was
crazy?
A bonus beer. So
this is a good bonus beer.
So okay. I was right. Just like to point attention at myself.
Yes, Carl. Mm. Yeah.
Thank God we have good boy Carl with us today.
Well,
Welcome Did Mike give it a higher rating than you?
Wow.
Yeah. Welcome to Beer Rescue with Carl.
Okay. So this Black Friday Barrel Age Noel release, according to the website.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is we are going to rate this a 4.
Hmm. What? So 1 to a 4.
This week, wow. I actually took a Belgian Golden that I've had sitting on a whiskey barrel for 3 years.
Why'd you leave it sitting on the barrel?
And it is really
didn't it fall off.
It's really fascinating. What kind of barrel is it? It's a bourbon barrel.
From Kentucky?
I think it's Indiana? A National Barrel Company. I think it's a MGP barrel. Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's a
Straight, no funkiness.
No.
This was the
first. We are going to add some adjuncts on it. It needs a little bit of sugar to it. And I was talking with
Stick your finger in there.
Yeah, the brewer that we're collaborating with, and he and I both agreed, just needed a little bit of vanilla, just a hint, you know, to kind of kick it up just a little bit, you know, from where it's at. But yeah, it's definitely barrel aging is not for the meek by any standard. No. Yeah,
it can very easily turn into garbage.
Yeah, yeah. You really got to be flexible, you know, and pay attention to what's going on for sure. So.
Well, what a wonderful episode today. Amazing holiday spirit. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Well, that's going to do it for today. Good old boy Kendall, thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com.
Good old boy Carl, thanks so much for being here and helping us to have a nice, happy ending to this episode.
Peace, love, and humptiness forever.
Please tell us what you do in your day life.
I work for Nashville's Black Abbey Brewing Company, and you can find us at blackabbeybrewing.com.
And on your sidekick?
And you can also look me up on Instagram at DJ Dad's Been Drinking with no G.
Yes. Good old boy Mike.
Check out another great episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Good old boy Dave.
I can't believe you thank Carl for a happy ending.
This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chuggling and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a one-tan hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the dude in the basement studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.